1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Local Youth Worker, a podcast brought to you by Reformed Youth Ministries. I'm your host, John Parrott. This is episode number 439, and I'm here with Linda Oliver. Linda, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well, John.
Linda and I are going to be talking about comparison in ministry today, just how we have that tendency to look at others, and I mean, we'll more specifically zoom into youth ministry, but ministries across the board, and just human beings, as human nature, we compare ourselves. And so we'll be talking a little bit about that. Before we jump in, I do want to make an announcement about Paul David Tripp. I think it was last week I mentioned that he'll be coming back on the podcast soon, and we're excited to be talking to him about his newest book, New Morning Mercies for Teens. Many people know about New Morning Mercies, and it's incredibly popular devotional, and now he's releasing one for teenagers. Well, before he comes on the podcast, we're going to have a giveaway, and here's the basic details. Some of this might change a little bit, but we're calling this Ask Paul David Tripp Anything. So you as the listeners can ask Paul David Tripp whatever you want. Of course, we might not read those, but if we read your question on this podcast, you will win a free copy of New Morning Mercies for Teens. So be sure to look at the description or the link in the description. We'll have just a way you can contact us and submit a question. So that's Ask Paul David Tripp Anything. That podcast will air early May. It might be May 5th off the top of my head. I could be wrong. May 5th or 6th. But be sure to send those questions in. We'll be taking those up. And if you follow any of our socials, you can also submit questions that way as well. But excited about him coming back on, and hopefully you'll win a free copy of the book. So Linda, do you think you'll submit a question?
You know, I can think of plenty of questions. I'm full of questions.
Yeah. But yeah, specifically to Paul David Tripp.
I'll submit a question for Paul.
There you go. Yeah. Maybe we'll say, I don't know, you might not be eligible because you just have an event. People would think, okay, yeah, we're playing favorites or whatever, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay. So we're talking about comparison today. And Linda, you actually, you know, came up with this idea. You suggested this. I thought it was a great idea. And just kind of saying from the outset, it's like, as you sent that, RYM might've been the place I felt comparison more than any other place. that's no shade at RYM. That's obviously my own heart, but anytime, I mean, this is before I came on staff with RYM, when I would show up with my group at summer conference, or if I showed up at youth leader training, I was looking around and just comparing myself to everyone that was there. So maybe just, with you, what gave you this idea? What kind of sparked this thought? Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. Like anytime I was in a setting where there are other youth workers, other youth groups, whatever, like it could be a place where I could really experience a lot of temptation to compare myself. Right. Mm-hmm. And, actually I think the thing that brought this up for me the other day was I've been spending, some time reading through 1 Corinthians, and there was a scripture there that, as I was thinking and praying through it, the Lord just like applied it in a way that had to do with comparison to me. And I was like, oh, this is actually really helpful to think through. And like that's something that we all face. Like, let's do a topic, for the podcast on that. So yeah, that's where it came from.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll dig into that scripture in just a little bit. I thought some of the things we can talk about, let's just maybe name some specifics of what is it we do typically compare. We can look at the kind of why and try to dig into some of the roots of where that comes from. You know, for those of you who are listening, just you kind of thinking, reflecting about your own heart and just hopefully you know, shining a light on maybe some of those that you haven't been aware of. And then, you know, we'll end with some solutions. We want to end on a positive note, just not just kind of, you know, let's highlight how broken we all are and compare, and then just kind of end it. Yeah. So, well, why don't we start with just what do we compare? Linda, what are some of those, you know, when you'd show up, and I mean, again, we're not picking on RYM, but it's a place where any, you know, youth workers are gathering together. We're going to be tempted to this, but maybe what were some of those things you'd look around and compare yourself with others?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would broaden it too, to say, like, not only would it be if I was showing up at gatherings of youth workers, but also like within the ministries I served in, sometimes at youth group, watching the other leaders interact with the students or on retreats or whatever, I could just compare myself to them. Right. I know like one of the things that youth leaders can be tempted to compare over is like, is my youth group as big as that youth group? I don't think that that was typically my highest temptation at all. It was more things like, am I as good of a youth leader as that person over there? Which could have been in any number of ways. Like, are students as drawn to me as they are to that person? Am I as fun as that person? And am I like as skilled in connecting with others? Or do I teach as well as that person? When crazy situations or questions come up, am I as good at responding to those as they are? Or it could be other ways that like, I would compare, like, is my youth group or my ministry better than like that one over there? Mm-hmm. And that one is one that I typically tended to have a lot of like pride in. What, like, just to confess, like, it would be very easy for me to go like, oh, well, that youth ministry over there is like doing this thing that like sounds cool, but it's, I actually think it's stupid. And I actually think that our philosophy and strategy is better than theirs. Right. Like, yeah. I think a lot of us are really good at doing that. And I am one of those people. And then sometimes too, it's just noticing like, if you're someone who maybe like, you work with middle school and you have to pass up the students to the high school, or just you work with all the students and you watch when they get passed up to college, and or you leave a church and then someone else is running the ministry after you, like any of those, because I've faced all of those multiple times. Like, it's just really easy to watch like, oh, the students really love the new leaders who are running things, or the new leaders they're working with in the new ministry they're in, or, oh, wow, like the youth group has this like cool new thing that they're doing now that I'm not part of it anymore. And like, it grates at you in this way. It's like, why couldn't I have come up with that? Right. Yeah. So it just is really easy to like compare yourself and go like, like, I wish that I could have come up with it, or like, it should be doing poorly without me, because wasn't I the most important person, you know? I think those are the kinds of things that that I've experienced.
Yes. No, I mean, it is a total savior complex, right? We can completely just build the ministry around ourselves, our personalities, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm glad you're bringing up not even just kind of getting together, you know, at an RYM, for example, and you're seeing all these other ministries, but even, you know, I was, and I've said this on this podcast, reluctant at first to allow kind of volunteers to come into the ministry, because I, you know, again, I wanted to be the savior. It was about, you know, winning students to me and having them like me. And I just felt threatened by that if anyone was coming around. And then, you know, it's like even later when I did start getting volunteers and realizing I needed volunteers, sometimes I could just see them interacting with students and just thinking, man, they're so much better at that than I am, and just be discouraged by it and not even necessarily feel comparison. It was just kind of like, yeah, just being sad about it. But I think, some of those that we do compare, and we've already kind of said some of these, but just listing some off, just the overall size of the church totally, but then the size of our specific youth group, but even like the size of our staff, maybe, you know, how many families we have involved. Another one is our facilities. You know, we can compare, and that's something maybe unique to certain contexts. And I know the context that I was in, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but just comparing facilities. You know, even, you know, Bible knowledge of seeing someone who knew more about the Bible and seemed to be just a better communicator of it, without a doubt, that could be a temptation. Programming, maybe that gets into kind of some of what you were saying, Linda, of just seeing what other youth groups were doing and, you know, if it was a very successful event, wanting to kind of be able to offer something that was just as good or do something that's better. And then maybe it all came down to just kind of personality, you know, and really wanting students to like me and who I was. And, you know, when I would show up at an RYM and see this really cool youth worker who's like loud, funny, and just kind of has students around, I was thinking, okay, I'm nowhere near that. And I want students to like me. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, it's good, you know, obviously for many reasons to go to something like an RYM. I mean, I'm on staff and so I'm going to say that obviously, but it's good for us just from a sanctification standpoint. We need to have these things exposed and shown and repent of those and take those to the Lord. But maybe, you know, just let's think about the why, you know, let's dig into that a little bit more. And maybe Linda, you can kind of start off with some of those and also that First Corinthians passage you were talking about too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure that there's like a lot of easy, typical answers we could give here. Because passages that really encourage me in this area come from First Corinthians, I was trying to think like, okay, so then in the world of First Corinthians, like, what could we say about why we compare? And in the early chapters is where Paul's talking about like the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God, right? It's like one of those places where God does one of those really interesting kingdom reversals. Mm. And the things that are considered wise in the world are not in the kingdom, right? And I think that like this is like not a typical way to come at the topic of comparison. But I think that one of the things going on when we're comparing is we've been so like exposed to the wisdom of this world. And that's what we've learned. And we're seeing like, oh, I have to unlearn the wisdom of this world. And yeah, I need to learn the wisdom of God, because God chose what is weak in this world. And that is so against, you know, the wisdom of this world. And that work of unlearning the wisdom of the world, learning the wisdom of God, like that is a hard work of the Spirit and of sanctification, right? And right. So it's like, it's not going to come very easily. We're going to continue to struggle with that and have to learn it. There's another place too where Paul's bringing that up because there's divisions in the church about like, oh, we follow Paul or we follow Apollos or whatever. So it's almost like, I wonder if the Corinthians were creating a situation where those leaders would have been tempted to compare themselves to each other, right?
Sure.
But then Paul starts talking in chapter 3 and he's like, you know, I couldn't address you as like spiritual people, but I had to address you as infants in Christ because you were still of the flesh, right? So like there's another take on it's all coming out of we're living out of our flesh rather than out of like the Spirit. So yeah, there's at least like a First Corinthians perspective on some of the things going on in comparison.
Yeah, that's really good. And I like how you were saying just, you know, unlearning what we're learning from the world, because I think it was a John Piper quote a long time ago where he said, you know, you will be conformed into this the image of the world without intentional efforts not to be. And so as we're broken, sinful people living in a sinful world, we're naturally going to fall into some of these patterns. And then, like you said, to unlearn it is years, if not our entire lifetime, only through the power of the Spirit to be fighting against some of that. And so, yeah, just kind of, you know, as I was thinking through this, some of the root causes, I mean, the most obvious, just kind of broadly, what we're saying, pride, you know, and more specifically is glory seeking. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want glory. I want to be the best at fill in the blank, whatever it is, teaching my students, being the most fun, whatever, and other people threaten this, right? And so if they're the best at it, now I'm not getting the glory that I want. And then kind of flowing out of that is just, you know, competition. You know, we want glory, and so we put other people down, and so they become objects and hurdles in the way of receiving that glory, you know? And then just, you know, the understanding that we're all broken. We're not completely whole as human beings, and we have deficiencies, and our brokenness is aware of that. And we feel those a little bit more when we get put around people who are better, you know, at certain things. And so that we're comparing in that way. And that just kind of leads into, you know, jealousy, where it's not only just our brokenness, but we understand as believers, God gives us all gifts, but he doesn't give us every gift. And so we see people who are more gifted in certain areas than we are. And we have to understand that, embrace that, be okay with that, to realize that that ultimately doesn't define us. But, you know, when you're thrown into the mix of a bunch of youth workers interacting with other students, or if they're volunteers coming in, they have gifts that you don't. And that can foster some jealousy in our heart to compare. And then, you know, maybe the last one I was thinking as we're comparing is just kind of going back to pride, but from the sense of, you know, not striving for community, and kind of what you were saying of acknowledging our weaknesses. You know, like we want autonomy. We want to be able to be, you know, self-sufficient at times, to do things on our own, and just not seeing that, hey, we actually need other people to help us in this. And instead of viewing people as objects or people that are in the way of our glory and they have strengths and all this kind of stuff, we see them as, no, we need them. And we think of, I mean, even in Corinthians, talking about the body of believers and the hand cannot say to the foot that it doesn't need that, and all of that kind of reality. And so, yeah, kind of pushing back on that idea of just community. And so those are just some thoughts that came to mind. You know, I would like to end with some biblical solutions, but let's talk about some unbiblical solutions first. You know, just as you were saying, you know, we learn some of the ways of the world and we take those on in this. And we also learn some worldly ways to be dealing with this. And we've kind of touched on some of those, but any thoughts that come to mind of just unhelpful ways in which you've try to deal with comparison?
I think one of the things I've tried to do in the past, which just doesn't work, is identify those things that other people are better at than me and then just try to be like them. Mm-hmm. Right? Like try to be like, okay, so it's a bad thing that I'm not as good as that at that as they are. So I need to get better in it. And that's just gonna, wow, be an unending quest in your life to be perfect at everything. And that is not gonna work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And I mean, it is what we, you know, we copy each other so often. I mean, we can watch, I mean, you know, there's been so many jokes of thinking of preachers and teachers specifically, and you can tell, wow, this person that's teaching right now is totally trying to be this type of preacher or this type of person, you know, Tim Keller or John Piper, whatever it is. And so, yeah, we can often look at other people and just try to start kind of parrot those personalities, yeah, gifts, things like that. You know, something we could do is just mock other people. You know, we can do it in creative ways where it's not just straight out putting them down, but just subtly belittling them, or just kind of, you know, mocking an idea that they had, or this church youth group is doing that. Well, especially I would say in reform circles, coming up with creative theological ways to just critique that. And it's a way to, you know, we're comparing ourselves and we're feeling insecurity, but if we kind of diminish what it is they're doing, then we feel a little bit better about that. And some of this, you know, we can just have some coldness or lack of love towards others. You know, we can, especially as I'm thinking of in, you know, being at conferences with other groups, just avoiding certain people and not really trying to see, you know, again, continuing to use RYM as a, as an example, that as you, you arrive there, seeing this as these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have this unique chance to share in deep community with one another. And some of that can be hindered because we're just going to avoid that person because they make me feel insecure and I'm tempted to compare them because they're so good at this. You know, or kind of some of what you're saying, just exude confidence to hide or cover up, right? Just, okay, I'm going to fake it till I make it, you know, I'm going to just try to be more like this. And anyway, so those are just some thoughts. Any reaction to that, or do you want to maybe jump into some helpful solutions to this?
I'd say let's jump into helpful solutions.
Yeah, gotcha. Why don't you start us off there? Okay. Some thoughts.
So, yeah, so there's a couple of different places in 1 Corinthians that I've got some thoughts from. So you've alluded to this a bit already, but 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, right, is when it's talking about gifts and the body of Christ. And I think knowing my own gifts and weaknesses and owning that is so helpful. Yep. I think one of the things I've really had to learn and has been very helpful when someone pointed this out directly to me is what there have been things that I've known, like I'm just not as good at that as some other people. And I would, as a result of that, mistakenly conclude that means I'm a failure. And it doesn't. It just means I'm not good at that, and that's okay. And they can be good at that, and they can have that gifts. Like, I have strengths they don't. I am, in the words of like 1 Corinthians 12, like, I am no less a part of the body just because I don't have X, Y, or Z gift, right? And it's really hard to grasp that, especially when someone that like matters to you or mattered to you at one point, like, has taught you otherwise, like, and spoken down to you because you don't have a certain gift or whatever, like that's when you really have to lean into the Spirit for that sanctification work there. But the more you can grow in your understanding of who you are and who you aren't and learn to lean into that and then figure out like, okay, like, so this is something the ministry needs. How can I compensate or delegate or whatever for a place that I'm weak in if it's something the ministry needs? Like, the more you can do ministry well and really find what you should and shouldn't be doing in ministry as you do those things. I think that that has just been huge for me. And then there's one other passage too in 1 Corinthians that I could talk about unless you want to come on that first.
Yeah, no, I'll jump in a little bit too and then let's jump back to that. Yeah, because I think, you know, as we're talking about this, this specifically for us, as we're dealing with our, you know, comparison and temptation, all that kind of stuff, but especially like modeling this to our students, like, you know, admitting weaknesses to them, admitting to them, hey, look, I'm tempted to compare myself, you know, to these youth workers in this area. And, you know, using that as helping them see which ways are they tempted to compare to their friends. But, you know, us being open about this with our students to open their eyes to that, but to show like we're not above this. And as you were saying, just embracing our gifts and lack of gifts. I mean, that's something I'm trying to teach my own children of, you all have talents and gifts, but you don't need to think. I mean, some of my children, just this example, are better at math than others. And for me as their father to be able to just say that bluntly to them, hey, some of you are more gifted at this than others. That doesn't make you any less valuable. You have gifts that they don't have. And just the idea of gifting and being able to talk about that, I mean, for us to embrace that and be okay with that, as you were saying, but then to be teaching our students that is so important. And, you know, as I'm thinking of my own, you know, context when I was doing youth ministry here in the Jackson area. I mean, there are six, I think, PCA churches that are probably within a 10-mile radius of each other. You know, I mean, just a lot. And then there's, you know, the seminary, Reformed Theological Seminary. So there are Reformed-leaning churches all around the area that are in the same kind of theological spheres that we're interacting with. And I needed to, you know, foster community among those groups and not see those groups as competition that were going to be stealing my youth or whatever. And so striving to just embrace the community that's around and striving to kind of be intentional in those relationships. But those are some things. And, you know, again, just kind of talking about just being vulnerable with yourself about it, openly talking about it, but talking about it with your students. Yeah, maybe I've got a couple other things, but want you to jump into.
Gosh, I had a thought and it totally left me. You should cut this moment out.
You think, no, let's. Yeah. It's good. As we're talking about being vulnerable, you know, it's like we all get distracted. Because one thing I'll kind of maybe put a finer point on with the gifting is recognizing, I mean, biblically, God's sovereignty in this, that that's an aspect of this, that God, the creator of each and every one of us, was the one who sovereignly displayed gifts. For some reason, he chose to give me some gifts, and for some reason, he said, nope, I don't want John to have this gift. And we need to rest in that of, you know, when we're pushing back or maybe being discontent or even frustrated that we don't have certain gifts, we need to say, okay, ultimately we're a little angry at God and we're kind of pushing back on a sovereignty here. And so we need to cling to that truth in the midst of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I think I remember the thought that I had. So 1 Corinthians 12 is the beginning of a discussion that really goes through chapter 14 about the gifts, right? And the middle point of it is 1 Corinthians 13. And, right, like, I think that that's an important part of the conversation about gifts, too, where it's like, yes, let's seek to grow in our gifts. Let's seek to figure out our weaknesses. And there's ways we can grow in our weaknesses, too, right? But also, ultimately, if you have, like, the most amazing supernatural gifts, but you have not love, like, you are nothing, right? And, like, and love is something that we can all grow in. It's a character quality more so than a, am I gifted in this or not, right? Like, I just think that's something we need to emphasize, too, in the way that we think about how we get to use our gifts and do I have this gift or that gift? And as you're comparing yourself with others, like I think a better question than am I as good as them is how am I using my gifts to serve and love others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, the last point I just wanted to make, and it's the probably the most obvious, but it's the one we just have to continue to cling to, and that's our identity in Christ. And that's something we've already alluded to and I think already mentioned specifically. What we constantly, daily, as we wake up, continually need to be reminded that it's not what we do, you know, that ultimately defines us, that Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, our identity is totally secure in him and what he has done. And we have to continue to tell that to ourselves, but to think of specific applications of our identity in Christ in this area when we're tempted to compare and, you know, getting fleshing that out, thinking of specific ways in which we, you know, compare and think of, okay, well, what does this mean for me in Christ Jesus? And, you know, as I'm saying this, I'm just thinking of the book that many people are familiar with, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness by Tim Keller, tiny booklet that just is filled with good thoughts and truth. And, you know, there's so much as we're thinking about comparing, just forgetting about ourselves, just getting our eyes off of ourselves first and foremost onto our Savior, but then seeing other people as our neighbor and we are to love them. And anyway, that's just kind of a last thought. Did you have anything you wanted to add as we close this out, Linda?
Yeah. So the other passage in 1 Corinthians is really like in chapter 3 and 4. So that's where Paul's again kind of going on about that whole, like, they're, some of them are saying they follow Apollos, some of them follow Paul. And towards the beginning of chapter 3, Paul just starts commenting on that and saying, like, hey, like, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? And he gives this phrase like, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And he goes on in some other ways to say, like, you know, it was according to the grace that God gave me that I laid the foundation that I laid, and now someone else is building upon it. And even down in chapter 4, he goes on some more to say, like, hey, like, I don't even judge myself in ministry, because really it's what God thinks that matters more so than, like, myself. And I just think that, like, some of those principles are really helpful too, to think through, like, okay, by the grace that God has given to me, I'm doing the best that I know how to at this moment in ministry and with the gifts that I have and how I know how to use them. And here's somebody else that either, you know, now my students have moved on to their ministry, or it's another leader within my ministry or whatever. Like, here's someone else that, like, they're doing the best they know how to. And we both answer to the Lord. The point is not, is one of us better than the other? Because that's kind of what the Corinthians were arguing about. And Paul's like, that's not it, right? Mm-hmm. The point is, each is doing what they can with the grace that God has given. And God is the one who's giving the growth, not any of us, right? I think that to me is just really helpful to think through in those moments when I'm comparing myself to someone else. It's really not about me. Whether my conclusion in the comparison was like, I did a lot better than them, or like, gosh, I am so much worse than them. Like,
yeah.
The point is neither of those things. Mm-hmm. The point is God is giving the growth.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Such a good word to end on. Yeah. Helpful to continue to wrestle with this. Think about this. Just, you know, if you're a parent out there listening to this who has nothing to do with youth ministry, what are some ways in which you compare yourself to other parents in your parenting, and students hearing this? I mean, if you're a pastor that's not a youth pastor, just thinking about this temptation that we will always be wrestling with this side of heaven. So thanks for being a part of this, Linda. I do want to remind our listeners about the Ask Paul David Tripp Anything. Again, check the show notes. There's a link to contact us and submit your questions. If we select your question when Paul David Tripp is on in a few weeks, then you will win a free copy of New Morning Mercies for Teens. So be sure to do that, and we'll see you next week.